You've got questions? Andrew Mason has the answers. This is Mason's Mailbag, presented by PrimeSport.
Back here with another edition of Mason's Mailbag. I'm Andrew Mason. Thanks, as always, for joining me here at the UC Health Training Center. Quiet week for the Broncos this week. Gets busy next week with NFL league meetings. And, of course, there's pro days going on, the draft not far behind in late April. And that's where our first question is going to come from at OC Graphics on Twitter. If Denver was to choose a tight end, where do you think is a reasonable spot to take one, maybe an O.J. Howard? Well, O.J. Howard, if he's at 20, wouldn't surprise me at all if the Broncos ran to the podium with that name on their card. But I don't expect O.J. Howard to drop to number 20. I actually had him going 12th to the Browns on Mock Draft 3.0, which you can find on DenverBroncos.com. I think that the value for O.J. Howard may well push him into the top 10 just because he's that perfect mix of blocking ability, receiving ability, size, etc. Beyond that, there's a lot of depth at tight end, and that's why I think maybe the sweet spot's going to be round 2 or round 3, because there's a cluster of guys who, you know, maybe it's a reach to take them at 20, but could and should be available in the second round. You're talking about maybe David Njoku, although I don't think he's going to make it out of the first round. But then guys behind him like Bucky Hodges of Virginia Tech, Jake Butt of Michigan, Jordan Leggett of Clemson, Gerald Everett from South Alabama. These are all guys, Evan Engram, Ole Miss as well. Don't want to forget him. These are all guys that kind of slot into that second to third round range. I think that's where the value is going to be. So if by chance O.J. Howard doesn't drop to 20, take your tight end in the second or third round. That's probably going to be the sweet spot to get the best value from a deep class. Question number 2 from Walter Brooks. I read about the proposal to change commercial breaks and have fewer of them but longer ones. How can that help? Of course, Walter's talking about the pace of play stuff that's going to be on the docket at NFL league meetings next week. The competition committee discussed some of that on Thursday. Now, having fewer breaks but longer ones, it's part of it is to avoid the commercial kickoff, commercial sludge point of the game, I would call it. Really messed up the flow of things. So you have fewer breaks but longer ones, then you're not forced to take that extra break after a kickoff or an extra break after a punt. You can keep the game action flowing whenever possible. So I think that's going to help, but there's more than that. One proposal involves having NFL officials view instant replay on tablets rather than going all the way to the monitor, which is in a fixed position, and going under the hood. The tablet can be handed to them at the nearest spot away from the point of play, and that allows the referee to get back out there and make the announcement more quickly. Also, halftime standardized, even though it actually means increasing time to 13 minutes, 30 seconds, you wouldn't be able to build a buffer in years past. Halftime was actually based on the location of locker rooms, the distance to the locker room. Thus, teams could adjust and not start the 12-minute clock for a minute or two to account for that. Now that's out the window. So everything is about making the game smoother. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be shorter, but smoother and having fewer overall pauses and standardizing things. They think that will help. Thanks for the question. And if you want to join us next week when we'll shoot this mailbag in Phoenix at the NFL league meetings, go to denverbroncos.com/Mason's Mailbag, or please find me on Twitter. I'm at Mace Denver, and use the hashtag Ask Mace. Until next week, take care, and thanks for watching.